Hello and welcome to the LGBT Family and Games Community Podcast. My name is James, and today I am joined by Hella.
Hella. Hi. Hello. Welcome to my peaceful zen.
Peaceful zen?
Yes, we could be peaceful and kind to each other, right?
That is reminding, that's giving me the vibes of that one Instagram account that I sent you a link to. I can't remember their name. I'll have to pull it up.
Oh, like that the one that you said reminded you of me?
Yeah, they're very like, they have kind of like a non-binary vibe. Bruce W. Brackett or BWB.positivity on Instagram.
I was just trying to give you a cup of love. My goodness, here, drink up, enjoy. It's all for you. Holy buckets. I also just wanted to ask how you were. You were about to scroll on by. How are you? Really, how are you?
So, Hella, you weren't at the Try Not to Laugh challenge yesterday.
No, I was drinking alcohol, partying,
living it up. You actually have real-life friends?
Yeah, I know. It's so strange, right? I'm always online. Always.
You actually have a life? What?
I know. My life exists outside of work, college, and Discord.
Yeah.
Barely. It's there, but barely.
Yeah, my life exists, too. It's called yard work and work.
That's why I live in an apartment.
We actually considered a condo because I didn't want to do yard work anymore, but I'm glad we have a house.
My roommate was like, let's get a house so the dogs have places to run. And I'm like, you're going to do all the outside work.
So in other news, we do have other events. And Hella reminded me that we could announce those on here. So let me...
Let's do our honor roll of interesting things.
Yeah. So happening now is the podcast recording. We do that every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then we release the podcast every Tuesday. And then every Sunday we have Selfie Sunday where you can share your selfies in the Discord.
Already got mine planned.
And then this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern is another live recording of You Laugh, You Lose, or the Try Not to Laugh challenge. Basically, we watch a funny video on YouTube and all of us try not to laugh. If you laugh, you lose.
And I'll try to be there this time because I really do enjoy making those.
It's great when you're on those.
What? Because I laugh a lot?
Yeah, and you'll make silly comments that get other people to laugh. So I actually enjoy having you on those.
That's one of my favorite things is getting, because I already know I'm not going to win. Like, well, I already know because I'm going to laugh on the first video.
I try to win. I'm pretty stubborn when it comes to those. We're also doing two other events that are unique, which is the personal activity challenge. That's going throughout this month. It's actually like when you're in the Discord, anytime you chat in the text chat or you're on voice call with others, you're working towards that activity challenge and you gain points. And the more points you get, it ranks you in a higher tier. The higher the tier you get, the more rewards you can get. You get 2 points for every text message and 15 points for every hour that you spend in voice. Plus, if you participate in events, you get 100 points per event. And then there's the different ranks. You can get a random Steam key once you get to gold rank, the premium Discord role for the platinum rank, plus all these LFG coins, which you can use to buy colors in the future. And then we're doing a month of Discord Nitro for anybody that gets to the Conqueror rank, plus a $100 coupon for the LFG merch and the LFG shop for anybody that gets the Ruler rank. So not impossible to do. There's still time. Anybody can actually accomplish this goal throughout the month. All you have to do is go to the leaderboard chat channel in the Discord. You click this join challenge button, and that would add you to the leaderboard. We update this periodically.
Yeah. I'm not sure if staff can win awards, but if not, I would still be gunning for that.
Staff don't get the monetary rewards, but if you were able to get up that high, I would probably do something. I'd probably
get you taken care of. Because I still want an LFG hoodie. I want to rep us at work.
And we do have a stand-up comedy night on March 31st at 9:30 p.m. That one is a new event. We haven't done it before, but I think it will actually be pretty funny.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be any good at it because I'm only good at making what other people say is funnier.
Well, you can always try.
Commentary. I mean, I'm a commentary person.
Sometimes the fun of comedy and watching comedians is watching them fail. So sometimes sometimes that's more funny than them having a good set.
True.
Is that like uncomfortable awkwardness of them not really being good?
I could tell funny work stories.
You have to figure out like a punchline or something, but you could try.
Well, not every joke has to have like a punchline. All my punchlines are going to be use birth control.
Use birth control. Yeah. Well, I mean, that is solid advice, especially with the way things are these days.
Oh, God. Moving on.
Moving on. So speaking of this week, so a lot has been said this week about Mike Pence and his comments towards Pete Buttigieg. His pretty homophobic comments towards Pete Buttigieg. I will say this. It supposedly was at a dinner that you're supposed to roast people at. So he said, quote, "I mean, Pete Buttigieg is the only person in human history to have a child and all the rest of us get postpartum depression." Quote, "When Pete's two children were born, he took 2 months maternity leave," which, come on, maternity leave. It's paternity leave for
the male. And he's allowed to do that.
"Whereupon thousands of travelers were stranded in airports. The air traffic system shut down. Aeroplanes nearly collided in midair." Let's be clear. That had nothing to do with Pete Buttigieg. That had everything to do with the fact that Southwest Airlines had an antiquated system that they did not update for years and years and years because they were prioritizing their profits and they didn't want to invest in a system that would improve their infrastructure to handle more customers.
Buttigieg isn't sitting there like having meetings with these flight companies every day.
Well, yeah, it's not like his responsibility, right?
They're a business.
I mean, he is the Secretary of Transportation. He does have some oversight of that industry.
Yes.
But the reality is if we're in America and we believe in capitalism and free markets and things like that, a lot of the leeway goes to these companies to run their business the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So Pete's husband, Chasten, had some things to say in response to Mike Pence's comments.
What was your initial reaction?
So this is what Chasten had to say about Mike Pence's comments.
And have you heard anything from the former vice president? Do you even expect to?
No, and I think it's not woke, to say that something is homophobic or misogynistic. It doesn't make it woke. You know, it doesn't make you a snowflake to tell someone that they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spoke up for two reasons. One, I'm always going to stick up for my family.
Yeah.
Especially my kid.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And, I don't know if you had that picture there of Gus in the hospital, but I know we all struggle to find a balance between work and family life. And I've never seen someone work harder than my husband to find that balance. But I think Republican or Democrat, we can all agree that when your child, our prematurely born child, mm-hmm. barely 5 pounds, when your kid is connected to a ventilator, you don't want to be anywhere but at their bedside.
That's where you're going to be.
Yeah. That's so, and watching Gus in the hospital, for anyone who has ever experienced having a child in the ICU,
I've had a child in the NICU. It's very difficult.
When their tiny little hand is gripping around your finger, you know, I would watch Pete have to peel Gus's fingers back and duck into the little bathroom in his room so he could do a Zoom with a virtual background so nobody would see that he's in the hospital.
Wow.
You know, and the other reason I spoke up is because, like I mentioned, we all have an obligation to hold people accountable for when they say something wrong, especially when it's misogynistic, especially when it's homophobic. Yes. Uh-huh. And I just don't take that when it's directed at my family. And I don't think anybody else would, especially when you bring a very small, medically fragile child into it.
Yeah, I tend to agree, right? Like, if somebody had those comments about my husband taking off teaching dance classes or me taking off work to deal with a family issue, like, you know, sometimes the things that we do at home are more important than the things that we do at work, whether, you know, you're in the government or not.
And it's like, it's 2 weeks. Anything he could do would take more than 2 weeks to go into action.
I will comment on this, right? So just related to like this comment of woke, I think that it's been a theme of this podcast for me to say there's a line, because there is a line. The way that you approach responding to things is important. In my personal opinion, Chasten saying, hey, you know, this kind of crossed the line, I think that's appropriate. I think if he were to take it further and say something like, you know, Mike Pence is a scumbag, or, you know, start throwing insults, that's
retaliating.
Wrong.
He didn't retaliate.
Yeah, you can't retaliate. Yeah. You just have to say, hey, this wasn't cool. I get that you were making a joke. Just know that our kids were on ventilators. So we had to be there for each other and for our kids. And we would hope that you would do the same.
Acknowledge and teach.
Yeah. We hope that you would do the same, and we would not hold that against you. We think that it's important for anybody to take leave when dealing with family.
The most definitely, yeah. And it's like, as I said, like, acknowledge and teach. You don't let those things dig into your skin and hurt you.
Yeah.
And make you, like, you take what you get need to from it, and you make it a moment where you're the better person.
Well, as an example, you know, I work in a very masculine field, right? And there's a lot of good old boys in my industry, professionally, you know, including the owners of my company. You know, they're very traditional in their views, very Republican, conservative individuals. When we have discussions, and I will say they have, both of them have been very respectful. Sometimes we disagree about things, but usually we're able to have a discussion and talk through things that we might not agree on, right?
Yeah.
And actually have a dialogue. And I think that, to me, that's one of the reasons that this podcast is so important, just to emphasize to everybody, we all need to be very aware of the way that we treat other people. As a minority, I think that we need to, because things are getting rough. Let's be real. Like, I know, Hella, you were saying something about, like, let's not talk about all the news stuff, but we got to talk about the news stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what I meant by that. Like, I didn't want the whole thing to be
news-loaded. Yeah, I know. But I'm sure there's some people that are listening that are like, oh my God, news stuff. Like, we already see it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's important, y'all. Like, we've got to talk about this stuff somewhere. And I think the important thing is to figure out how we're going to respond.
And if you really don't want to hear it, just kind of skip ahead a little bit. We won't hold it against you. We won't hold it against yeah. people who, we get it. But
yeah, I
try to listen. Try to take some things in. Yeah. Know what's going on in our world.
Well, speaking of things going on in our world, I am going to probably butcher this woman's name. I apologize in advance. I doubt she's ever going to watch this podcast, so I'm probably covered there. I think it's Michaela.
Michaela. We already settled on this.
Michaela. I am so sorry. See, I told you I was going to butcher it. Democrat Michaela Kavanaugh is in her fourth week of filibustering every bill that comes before the Nebraska legislature. And this is to protect LGBT individuals. She's doing this just to basically advocate for us in that state. Abby Swathsworth, executive director of LGBTQ advocacy group out in Nebraska, said Kavanaugh's effort has been greatly appreciated by the LGBT community. We really see it as a heroic effort. It is extremely meaningful when an ally does more than pay lip service to allyship. She is really leading this charge.
Yeah.
And it's needed right now. I will quote Kavanaugh. She says, quote, "I don't care how sick I get. I don't care how tired I am. I am not going to look back on this moment in time and say I didn't do everything that I possibly could to fight for and protect children, especially the most vulnerable children, which are trans youth."
Mm-hmm. Because they're going through one of the hardest things they ever could at that age, in my opinion.
It's a tough age, and it is a very vulnerable age for trans youth. The prescribing guidelines, the diagnosis guidelines, and the treatment guidelines for gender dysphoria and gender transition are very specific. They're very drawn out. They, generally speaking, do not recommend any type of surgery without multiple consultations by multiple experts and hours upon counseling and other
months and years.
Yeah, sometimes years of counseling, and then also a ton of other supportive actions, you know, gender confirming actions or gender affirming actions that don't have irreversible effects. Including puberty blockers, you know, something that a lot of people, I think a big misconception in the general public is that puberty blockers are permanent. There are some potential negative side effects, but in most cases, the puberty blockers are reversible. Once the patient stops taking those, the effects reverse pretty immediately. Well, you sent me this video of Representative.
Oh, the thing I posted. Okay.
Yeah, in Kentucky. So let's give this an
abomination that the Bible is used consistently on this floor. People are crying tears about God. And then when we tell you what the Bible says, love your neighbor, do for others, follow the golden rules, thou shalt do this, you don't do it. As far as I can tell, when I read the Bible, he said, go out and love people the way I've loved you, and I'll take care of the result. He says, take care of the least of these. Help the people that need them. Help the widows. Love people. The word love is mentioned over 500 times. The greatest of these is love. But y'all got opinions about everything, which is not why we're here, to be for the people, by the people, to serve the people. Now, I would feel a little differently if you had evidence that you let the government come in your house and tell you what to do, if you let your neighbors come in the house and tell you what to do, but nobody on this floor lets anybody tell you what to do, let alone the Dems. How dare you use my God for things against his people? I promise you, all the preachers in here talking about God's love, he sort of wants you to show it and not talk about it. He didn't say love everybody except the people you don't like, except trans people, except children, people of color, except the disabled. He didn't say that. He said love everybody. And then we spend a whole bunch of time trying to destroy everybody. And if it wasn't destruction, why'd you do it in the heat of the night? Why can't the people of Kentucky who put us here have the right to vote and know what's in this addendum? If you don't want to have an abortion, don't have one. If you don't want to be bothered with trans kids, don't. But how dare you tell other people, other parents that bear the responsibility for their children, what they must do according to your wishes and not God's wishes.
Very good point there on, like, one, the hypocrisy of the people. And two, my kind of take from that, I like very first thing is the use of the Bible on the legislative floor.
Yes.
I'm a very firm believer in separation of church and state. And to me, that means all religion and all state. It's fine if your opinions are based in religion, but those are still your opinions at that point. You can't be saying, because the Bible says this, this country can't do this. There's the whole point. Like, no, it's technically a mythology.
I tend to agree. My personal philosophy is, and I've said it before on this podcast, if what I'm doing is not illegal or immoral, you know, that's a Xavier quote. It really shouldn't have any impact. And the problem is obviously in legislation, in government, you're defining whether or not something is legal. And I don't necessarily think that religion should be the precursor to that. And if it is, it should take the form of the base principle of that religion. Most religions teach to treat others with kindness and respect. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that most religions have very outdated rule sets within their texts, whether it be Christianity or Judaism or, you know, Muslim teachings. A lot have some outdated rules mm-hmm. that just would not mm-hmm. apply to modern society.
Yeah, like exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, think about when these texts were written and how long these religions have been around. What was society like back then? Do we want a society like that or like what we have now?
You also mention the hypocrisy. I mean, the hypocrisy of picking and choosing the different parts of the religious text to implement. You know, there are some statements in the Bible that say that men should not shave. And there are very strict rules for women in the Bible. So if we're going to implement some of it, you know, why are we not implementing all of it?
Literally. Also, the Bible, most people interpret it, which means not everyone's going to see it the same way.
Well, like, and it has been translated from its original text multiple times, and the translations have different meanings and different contexts.
Translated incorrectly.
In some cases, yes. In some cases, they have been translated incorrectly.
There was a discourse about it a while ago, I remember, with the King James Version. Because before it, apparently the word gay never appeared in the Bible. And then after it, a word that meant something completely different was translated to the word gay.
Well, the Bible actually never really, at least none of the translations that I've read, actually mention the word gay. Most of that is man lie with another man, and it's in context within Leviticus, which is actually discussing incest.
Yeah, family. Yeah,
incestual relations. And so the problem is when you take something out of context, it completely changes the meaning, and that's a problem. You sent me a link a while back about a guy on TikTok, and he talked about Leviticus. So we'll go ahead and show that video on the YouTube.
I was waiting for somebody to bring up Leviticus 18:22, and I was waiting for somebody to bring up the King James Version. Trust me, you want to wait till the end of this video to talk about the King James Version of the Bible. But first, let's get past the boring part, Leviticus 18:22. As you can see, the comment includes the verse, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind, it is an abomination." Now, that definitely sounds like a very direct condemnation of homosexuality. So now let's look at the real context of Leviticus 18 and figure out what it really means. First things first, verse 6 says no one is to approach any close relative to have sex with them. And that sets the standard for the whole rest of the chapter. It's talking about incest. You can't have sex with your father's wife, your sister, your daughter, your daughter's daughter, your son's daughter, your father's sister, your sister's sister. It's talking about incest. And then all of a sudden in verse 22, he just talks about men having sex with men. Nothing to do with incest. That seems oddly out of place. That's because in the original Hebrew text, it uses this word here that I can't pronounce because I don't speak Hebrew. But this word only appears in two different contexts in the Bible, in Leviticus and in Genesis. And in both contexts, it's surrounded by context talking about incest. And so when you do an actual linguistic breakdown of what that word means, especially in conjunction with the prepositions around it, you'll find out it's actually talking about incestuous male-male rape, not consensual same-sex relationships. Sorry to burst your homophobic bubble.
Basically, the other thing to know about the King James Version of the Bible is King James was actually gay.
Yeah.
He had, you know, multiple male suitors. So that would be the last person to commission a translation of the Bible that would, disallow homosexuality as somebody who's actively partaking.
Now let's get to the fun part. Let's talk about King James. And why is this so important? Because where I come from and all across the country, you'll hear people say, if it ain't the King James Version, I don't want to read it. You got these people with the NIV and the ESV and the NRSV and the ABCD. You know what I mean? If it ain't the KJV, I don't want it. My whole life I heard the King James Version, the only version of the Bible you can trust, boy. Okay, then, I guess it's time to talk about how King James was a homosexual. Man, you homophobes are not going to like this. In the summer of 1614, King James met a man named George Villiers, who he nicknamed Steenie. Why did he nickname him Steenie? Because it was short for St. Stephen's. And according to the Bible, St. Stephen's had the face of an angel. King James fell instantly in love with George, or Steenie. The next summer, he knighted him, and they spent a few days in Farnham Castle. Later, George would write in a letter to King James, "Whether you love me now better than at the time which I shall never forget at Farnham, where the bed's head could not be found between the master and his dog." He's referring to King James as the master and himself as the dog, and the bed's head could not be found between them because they were having homosexual sex. King James and George stayed together for many, many years, and the two were notorious for kissing and caressing each other in public. So the King James Bible was commissioned by King James, a homosexual, and consensual homosexual sex is never prohibited.
Yeah.
So very unlikely. But I absolutely agree. I think that religion has no place in politics. I think those two things should be separate. I personally believe that, you know, churches, if at a certain point, if they're getting involved in politics, that they should start paying taxes, because then, you know, that would have an impact on, you know, if they're trying to influence politicians, then they should have to pay taxes, because I believe no nonprofit should I don't think nonprofits should try to influence the politicians. You know, maybe certainly you can talk to people, but
I've debated reporting a church near me to the IRS because they'll have signs in their lawn talking about like different propositions and what to vote for and how to vote. And
now, so technically the law states that you can talk about certain, like we're doing now, but what you believe is right and wrong. What you cannot do is endorse a candidate.
Okay.
So if a church were endorsing a candidate, then that would be against their nonprofit status. You can say that we stand for LGBT rights, or we stand for women having the right to choose, or we stand against those rights. But the minute you say we don't support Trump, vote for this person, that's a political endorsement. And then that would, you know, or we don't stand for Biden, vote for this person, you know, that would be a political endorsement. And you can't really do that.
I don't remember what their sign said. I never ended up doing it because
I
didn't want to think about it.
I doubt much would change from that. Because I think there's a lot of people are guilty of those.
Yeah.
Those types of activities. But speaking of Mr. Orange.
Mr. Orange. He's kind of a creep. Bum, 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 bum.
The Twitterverse is exploding about hashtag Trump indictment is now trending on Twitter. And there are people that are up in arms about it. And Trump has released a diatribe on his Truth Social that reads, quote, now legal leaks from corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous and other prosecutors fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back.
That also seems like an incitement.
Very much so. I would agree with that. And honestly, that's the result that he's getting on Twitter. He's getting a lot of his followers and people that support him to come out and say, you know, we're going to burn the land and, you know,
yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be a similar situation as January 6th.
Unfortunately.
Like, wherever if he does get arrested and wherever he's held, there's going to be some sort of, we're going to see, like, huge security setups, most likely, because they're probably going to anticipate, especially after that tweet. I guess I should say tweet, but social media post, because it was not on Twitter.
Yeah, it was not on Twitter. That was on True Social.
Yeah, because he's refused to return to, from what I've heard, he's refused to return to Twitter. And I don't really blame him.
So it's been trending for some time. It had been trending for some time. It had many, many views. Here's an image of the True Social. So the other controversy around this is Elon Musk's response, which is, quote, if this happens, Trump will be reelected in a landslide victory.
That's kind of confusing, because if he gets arrested, he'll never be able to run.
Well, so
right or something. No, he has to be. Continue. Yeah,
you'll. Yeah, he actually has to be. He would actually have to be convicted, and so the commentary from Elon is basically, honestly, it echoes what happened with Hitler, because Hitler incited a riot. I would have to look up the exact details to get everything right, so I apologize in advance if I leave anything out. Please feel free to fact check me, write comments, and join us in the next episode to say things. If need
be, we'll cover our mistakes made.
Yeah, I will definitely come back and cover it. But from my recollection of history, Hitler had incited a riot, and actually it failed. Very similar to January 6th, failed. He was then put on a very public trial and was convicted. Went to jail for a very short amount of time, then was released.
Isn't that when he wrote Mein Kampf?
Yeah, I believe so. And basically that gave him more popularity with his base. And then he was able to spin off of that and then criticize the existing government once the economy started to fail, because then people, a lot of times people follow the money, right? So if they're having a hard time economically, it doesn't matter who's in office. If it's hurting people economically, the person in office is going to go, and that allows somebody else to take power.
And you see that kind of stuff nowadays too.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so now, with the issues that we're seeing with inflation and things like that. Of course, you know, Biden and the Democrats that are in office were put to the test with the midterms, and, you know, they lost the House.
But the thing is that I always see crazy about that is that that type of stuff happens all the time, no matter who's in power. And it's not always necessarily that person's fault.
Yeah, there's a lot. So and there's a lead up, right? There's a delay between what you do in any kind of job or political appointment. There will always be a delay of your actions and the results. So sometimes those things get separated. There are sometimes things that feed into what's happening now that happened 2 years ago. And it's just now, for example, the derailment in Ohio, there was legislation. It was either legislation passed or Trump issued an executive order that prevented trains from having to brake as frequently. And so now we're seeing a lot of derailments because it's a safety issue. They're going too fast and the rails are heating up and they're jumping off the tracks.
Yeah.
But if you want a phenomenal candidate,
are you going to bring up who I think you are?
I am. This is a meme. I do not think he is a phenomenal candidate. No, I'm not being serious at all.
Because there is a well, we can't really say much on who we like, but
everybody during the pandemic, I think, caught up on the Tiger King. So there's a new message from Joe Exotic this last week running. Oh, you never watched it?
Never had an interest in doing anything with that man.
Honestly, I didn't either, but I ended up watching it, and I can see why people got addicted to it, because it's kind of like it's
crazy.
It's very off the wall.
It's documentary style, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much documentary style.
Better try then, because I love documentaries.
But Joe Exotic has released this whole webpage. He ran in the prior election.
Is he even allowed to run?
You actually are technically allowed to run even if you're in federal prison. I don't know what kind of logic that has, but
so what kind of law would it prevent Trump from running then if he gets convicted?
Theoretically none.
Cuz there was something I remember.
The only thing that could have prevented him from running is if he had been impeached fully.
Okay.
And convicted of his impeachment.
Okay, it's the conviction of impeachment. Okay.
Yeah, because then that bars you from holding any political office in the future.
I think that's one of those things where it was taken out of context and people just took the conviction part.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. He's
been impeached twice, right? But the Senate did not convict him of his crimes.
Because they weren't able to get enough of a vote.
Yeah. No, and it's a very political process, and
it was definitely at the time very much Republican versus Democrat
thing. It still is. It still is. There's you start seeing a few people kind of cross the aisle to work with each other, but it's still very politically divided.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was kind of like, if you're a Republican, you better vote for him.
Yeah.
But man, imagine just a striped fur rug on the floor of the Oval Office with mounted animal heads on the wall.
So Joe Exotic
Pet
says,
tiger.
Joe Exotic says, quote, "So put aside that I am gay, that I am in prison for now, that I used drugs in the past, that I had more than one boyfriend at once, and that Carol hates my guts. This all has not a thing to do with me being able to be your voice. The best thing you have going for supporting me is that I'm used to fighting my whole life just to get by. I am broke. They have taken everything I ever worked for away. and it's a time. And it's time we take this country back.
Preach.
You know, more power to him if that's what he wants to do. I personally think, you know, it's a waste of his time, and I'm surprised that people would vote for him.
It's like the guy who wears a boot on his head that runs like every year, every time.
I don't know who that is.
There's like some guy who calls himself like the Great Wizard or something.
Wow.
He gets like maybe I think like a few hundred votes.
Wow. Well, speaking of votes, did you know? You did not, because you actually brought this up to me. The Queerty Awards happened. I'm on the Reddit page for RuPaul's Drag Race. They had a very good summary of this, so I was going to just page through and announce the Queerty Award winners of 2023. What was that?
Or you do. I want to shout out the Queerty.com website, just because there's a bunch of stuff on there, and it looks very good.
It was very well put together.
And it also lists all the runner-ups, too. So please go out, look at it, see who's in the community for the music parts. Maybe listen to some of their music, support some queer artists.
Yeah, check out their music. In this case, the first award was for a podcast, the Sibling Rivalry podcast with Monet Exchange and Bob the Drag Queen.
It's on my list of listen to's of when you're done with your current one, listen to this one.
Yep.
They are a duo. They're funny together. Oh, they're great.
I'm sure. I'm sure they're comedians.
Bob the Drag Queen, they're a huge activist. They're a great person. So they're going to cover some pretty good topics.
And the reality docuseries goes to Trixie Mattel.
Trixie Motel. She had a TV series where she renovated a motel.
Oh, I didn't know that. She now
runs a motel in either Florida or Southern Cali. I think it's Southern Cali.
I will say that she has a very entrepreneurial spirit and seems to really go all out for things.
She has made a name for herself. She has done what she needs to do to get herself out there, and she's not afraid to try.
So the best web series went to IMHO, the show? IMHO?
It's an acronym.
IMHO?
I don't remember what it stands for.
I feel like they were trying to do a play on words, too.
A little bit. IMHO.
Yeah.
So I've seen these two pop up on TikTok. They're funny. They will like watch episodes of Drag Race and comment on it. They'll comment on random things, and they're good. Seem very. I'll have to
check them out.
I don't know. I haven't watched too much of them, so I don't have too much of an opinion. But they seemed good from what I saw.
I'll check them out.
Obviously, they won. So,
best documentary went to Access All Areas, the AAA Girls Tour.
So. You know, I want to shout out the three queens who are the singers of this. So you have Alaska. Her full name's Alaska Thunderfuck. You can bleep it if you want, but that's her full name. We have Willem Belli, and then we have Courtney Act. They have all been contestants on Drag Race, some more dramatically so than others. Willem. Their music, it's fun. It's fun music. Not all of it's safe for work, but it's fun. Very clubby, very just...
So this was a documentary about their tour...
Yes.
Where they're doing, okay.
Yes, it's their tour of their music and whatnot. And it's
I'm sure there's a lot of shenanigans.
Oh, so many.
Actually, with all shenanigans. So the next award was Future All-Star Cornbread.
Her full name is Cornbread the Snack, or Cornbread Jetty the Snack.
It's an interesting name.
She was on Drag Race as well, I think season 14, I want to say. The season that Willow Pill won.
Okay.
Also, they're an actress. They're an actress. They're trans.
Okay.
They have featured in YouTube videos made by Brandon Rogers, who is comedic. They're comedy videos, and they're very out there. I don't really know how to describe them in simple terms. They're very artistic.
Okay. Maybe avant-garde?
A little bit. They're comedy avant-garde.
Okay.
He has some series or whatnot that have like multiple episodes and like they kind of like TV shows almost now. One of the ones, if you ever remember the Vine clip or TikTok clip where like what's worse than Predator, and they pull off and it says child underneath, and the guy turns and says a child. That's a Brandon Rogers video, and it's comedy. Like it's just, it's good. They're good. Cornbread was amazing on it. Made it so much funnier. I love Cornbread. They definitely deserve it. They are a future all-star. No matter what they do, they are going to succeed.
I have to keep an eye on them. And drag royalty went to Raja.
Not surprised. They are honestly one of the most... They won season 4 or 5?
So
I don't really
ago.
Remember. It was an early season. That's probably her real hair for the most part. They got gray hair. Oh, and wow. They're avant-garde drag. They're art. I love Raja.
That's all the results that were on that page. I think there were more results on the Queery website.
Yes. So
make sure to check that out. And they have a lot on there. I'm sure they have more.
I want to shout out one or two of them real quick.
Sure. What you got?
So the Queerties Award for the Badass went to Jinx Monsoon.
Yep. I didn't see that.
I love her. She's on Chicago, the musical.
I've been seeing
one of my favorite musicals.
Yeah, she's
been selling out shows.
Yep.
Like, she's been the bomb. She was a badass.
Well, I think they extended the dates.
Yeah, they had to.
Because they kept selling out.
I think that was really the main one I wanted to shout out. Oh, there's one more, at least, is the Groundbreaker Award, which went to Dylan Mulvaney, who has been very open with their transition over the past year.
Yeah, so Dylan Mulvaney, we talked about this in one of the previous episodes. Dylan Mulvaney has been controversial because there's some trans people that find Dylan Mulvaney to be disingenuous and problematic because of the way their content on TikTok belittles women, cisgender women. So I'm not sure if I agree with that. I personally think that I've seen multiple people talk about Dylan Mulvaney and kind of break down their thoughts, both trans women and women that didn't like kind of what they were doing. And I tend to agree with the points they made. The whole comment about, you know, like normalize the bulge. When you're trying to transition and become a woman and be accepted in women's spaces, to say normalize the bulge, I feel like is a little tone deaf.
A bit. I kind of see where they're coming from in the sense of the people who aren't lucky enough to get the procedure. Like, don't discredit them for what they are.
I certainly wouldn't discredit them, right?
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying I can see why they said it. They might not have said it in the best way.
Yeah,
it could have been done much better.
Yeah, I feel like saying normalize the bulge, that is tone deaf. I feel like
they were just trying to say something catchy and it just didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's the TikTok energy, I feel.
Correct. And I feel like, you know, again, like, and I'll share the video with you, Hella, after this, but I'll share two videos with you. But there was a lot where they talked about kind of the female stereotypes that Dylan brings up a few times, you know, in day two of transitioning, and, you know, is some of it show for TikTok perhaps? Is, and again, is it tone deaf? Yeah, I think it's tone deaf. And I think that's why there are, you know, what some people will label as TERFs pretty automatically, right?
Oh, trans exclusionist radical feminists.
That's it. Yeah, so I feel like some women mistakenly get labeled as TERFs, trans exclusionary, when they have in some ways legitimate concerns about some of the, you know, some of these types of things. The portrayal of womanhood or, you know, female abilities or stereotypes by people that were gender assigned at birth male transitioning to female, and kind of not respecting womanhood.
Yeah. In a sense. I don't know. Everyone's transition is different. And how they want to present is different.
And I get that, right? Like, I get that.
It's a very slippery rope.
I can understand.
Yeah.
But I also know that as a minority, right, and things have changed for gay men, right? It's different now than it had been 10 years ago. But as a gay male, when I was growing up, I had to understand the fact that I was a minority and that my actions and my behaviors would impact people a certain way. So if I behaved a certain way in public, that would reflect on not just me, but the entire gay community. And so I had to be careful about how I acted.
Yeah.
And how I presented myself. And I think we've gotten,
that's a good way of putting it.
As a community, we've gotten away from that, right? Because things have opened up a lot more, right? Same-sex marriage is legal. We've forgotten. And that's part of the reason why we're doing this podcast, because I think it's so important to remind people we are still a minority. People are, it's still not the norm for somebody to be trans. It's still not the norm, even for somebody to be gay. It's only 7.2. It's safer now. It is somewhat safer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, at least in the trans spot, like, you don't have them killing themselves. Like, they feel like there's more safe areas that they can go to talk about it.
There are certainly more resources. I think things have come along.
It's still a minority. It's still, you're still having to fight for who you are. Like, it's not something that you can just say and then everyone will just move on. It's something that you have to stand by yourself. Like, you have to stand up for yourself.
I think it's important. Yes, we have to stand up for ourselves. But I also think, again, we've got to think about what we're doing and how we present ourselves. And
what we're saying.
And I'm not trying to say that people shouldn't be themselves. You absolutely should be yourself, right? But you have to understand what is acceptable in society in general. Frame it from that perspective. Like, if a straight person did this, would it be somewhat controversial? If the answer is yes, then as a gay person or a trans person, or okay, maybe we should rethink that, right? Like, for example, straight white male goes around in really tight pants saying normalize the bulge. Would that be acceptable? So I know I'm picking on Dylan Mulvaney a lot, but I apologize.
I would just say, I don't think everything they've done has been bad.
Certainly not.
Because I feel like it's almost, they're trying to make it like seem like a normal thing.
Yeah. And I don't ever want to on here, on this podcast, we're never going to cancel somebody, right? Like, this is not about canceling Dylan Mulvaney. No. I do wish, you know, personally, that some of their decisions were slightly different. And I think there's others that do. So I do think it's important to bring it up. I don't want to have that rain on their parade. More power to them for getting that award, right? But I think it's important that we talk about it and at least acknowledge those concerns.
Well, yeah, obviously. To be open about concerns and let people give their feedback.
Yep.
And keep Did you have discussion. Any others
on Queerty? Were there any other awards?
I just want to say once again, I've started listening to some of the music people under the Breakout Musical Artist.
Okay.
I've started listening to them. It seems pretty good.
Okay.
And they're kind of cute.
What's their name?
Top ones is Omar Rude, but they're both named Omar.
Really?
Insanely, yes.
It's an interesting coincidence.
We have Omar Rudberg and Omar Apollo.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check them out. Unfortunately, it's probably copyrighted music, so I don't want to play it on here, but we'll definitely check them out.
Not worried about it. But go listen to those people. Go listen to the other people, too, that were in the category. Go watch all those TV shows. Support queer culture.
Yep.
Let us be out there. Don't let these corporations take these TV shows down because they don't get good ratings.
So we did have a chat message come in from Xavier. It says, so far, biological women have been quiet. I think of them as a community, like a glass half full. And over the last few years, I've seen the glass fill slowly more and more and more. Eventually, what I expect is more biological female will be more verbal about things like this from their point of view as the blueprint.
Yeah, it'll be important to listen to their point of view because it's valid.
I absolutely agree. Regarding Gilliam and Mobley. Yeah. Yep.
I think also in regarding in general sense, too.
Yeah, well, and she who must not be named for controversial reasons.
Which we know, because based off of how you said that.
No, J.K. Rowling was actually in the news last week again for more controversial comments. Yeah, making a comparison between, and I think some of this is a stretch, but making a comparison between Death Eaters and trans people. I think, look, the reality is J.K. Rowling is a female and will have certain points of views as a female who was assigned that gender at birth. I don't necessarily think that all of her points of views are correct, but I do think that it's important to pay attention to some of the concerns that she is bringing up, because I am sure that there are other females that have those concerns. And I think it's important for the community to be kind when they have those conversations. There has been a lot of hateful rhetoric towards J.K. Rowling. I understand people are frustrated with J.K. Rowling. I am, to a certain degree, frustrated with J.K. Rowling because I feel like she's not doing herself any favor in the way that she's approaching her statements. But the point is we need to pay attention, because, again, we're a minority. 7.2% of the United States identifies as LGBT. And of that 7.2%, there is only a small percentage that identifies trans. And it's a very vocal percentage. But we cannot alienate everybody on the face of this planet. We have to figure out a way to talk to people with kindness and compassion and to address the concerns of cisgender females.
It's got to be a discussion. Everyone's got to be able to talk to each other about it. And both sides need to make sure to word things carefully.
Yeah. I will say, again, J.K. Rowling, stupid. I feel like that was stupid to
she's kind of ruined her own career, because she'll just tweet it very bluntly.
I think, unfortunately,
in any context.
Unfortunately, again, we're a minority, right? And trans people are a minority within the LGBT community. So I don't think she's ruined her career. I think, unfortunately, people are still going to support her. And there are some people that share her views. And that's a reality that we have to understand as a community. It's not something that people like to hear, but it's a reality that we need to be aware of. I don't necessarily agree with it. Right. I personally think that people should be allowed to do whatever they please. I think some of the issues that we get into are going to be those public spaces. Right. So restrooms and prisons. And I can understand some of the concerns that a cisgender woman would have about people in prison being incarcerated next to somebody who has a history of raping their gender. I think that's a nuanced on the
circumstance.
Yeah. Well, and I do think
it's not a generalization.
Correct. I think it's important for it to be person specific, right? So offender specific, especially in prison. If somebody's convicted of a sex crime, they should not be put in a situation where they can commit that crime again in prison.
Yeah, I think honestly, and the people that commit a sex crime, once they're in prison, they're not going to care what gender, really.
No.
They're still going to have that perversion. They're still going to have that want and need.
Yep. So,
and they're going to fulfill it any way they can.
Yeah. Well, and I also think there's some relativity, too, right? So if somebody is identifying as trans 1 month after being convicted of a sex crime.
Convenient.
Let's be real. Right.
Yeah.
If now, somebody has fully transitioned, right, and they have been transitioned for 5 years,
or have been openly,
okay, that's a little different.
Like before they commit the crime, before people are suspicious of them, have been like talking about it, and
yeah,
sometimes people can't afford to quote unquote transition.
Yep.
Into what would look, but they might still be like.
Oh, if they're on hormone therapies during transitioning, then yeah. So moving on to a more happy subject. Helle, you brought up a movie that I had not heard of.
Yes.
You want to give us a little intro and then we can watch the trailer? Or do you want to watch the trailer and then talk about it?
Well, with my terrible memory, I'm already forgetting the name of the movie.
Strange World.
I haven't fully watched the movie yet, but that's because I don't watch a lot of movies. unless I watch them with someone. Like, I don't like to watch movies alone. I feel weird.
I get that, yeah.
And then I don't like watching movies with my roommate. for reasons that James knows. Or will
know. Let's give the trailer a watch real quick.
Yeah, it's a good movie from what I've seen, and Disney kind of did it dirty. Let's see the trailer.
Well, so in fairness, I will say this before we start the trailer. I think the reason why this one has not been publicized as much is because Disney has been going through some things with the state of Florida.
I feel like it was going through those things after this movie was like coming out.
Yeah, well, so, but I can understand, like, the movie came out in November. There have been a lot of things in the state of Florida since then, so I would understand why they haven't publicized it. So this was released 5 months
before the movie came out. There weren't, like, trailers being posted all, like, that you weren't seeing it pop up and push.
Yeah.
Like, their other probably, films would be.
They're probably testing the waters. I know that it seems
testing crazy the waters is putting it a good way, and I guess helps rationalize it.
Yeah, I think they're testing the waters, and I'll be real. Florida right now is not LGBT friendly. So if they tried to like really push this, I feel like they would have a lot more pushback than what they've already even had in Florida. So and they had the pushback probably, I think, in August. So it does make sense why we haven't seen a lot of this. But yeah, here's the trailer.
President doing in our front yard.
Our entire world is in grave danger. I want you to come with me on an expedition.
I'm not my father. He was the explorer.
I know you were just a kid when he went missing, but now you're all we got.
Mr. Clade, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
Of your dad. Do you think you could forge his autograph?
What? Where in the world are we?
Ethan, you brought the dog?
Sorry!
That's the game character.
We are clearly Ethan. In uncharted territory.
Whoa.
Hello, you probably don't understand a word I'm saying.
Of course I understand you.
Huh?
Dad?
Dad?
Grandpa?
I'm a grandpa.
What is this place?
We're alive. And the waters dissolve the flesh off your bones.
Everything down here is trying to kill
the
us.
The sun is dead.
Yes.
Do you mind if
Not
I call
that.
You Splat?
You just kind of give me Splat vibes.
Ow. I guess I deserve that. Grandpa's awesome!
He is not awesome!
You gave me a machete for my birthday?
Classic Jaeger claimed.
I was two.
I'm loving this family reunion, but come on! We got a world to save!
We need you to figure this out, otherwise we're doomed. We are doomed!
Wait, seriously?
No, I'm just messing with you.
Didn't see that coming.
It's not like part of the main plot.
Trying to make it seem like it's just there. It's very like normal.
So it does, Xavier, to answer your question in chat, is this a Disney movie or is it a movie Disney is distributing? It looks like it is a Disney movie because it's from the studio that did Encanto. And to your point, Helle, it does look like it's a subplot that there is a gay character, which I'm all for.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad it's not Yeah.
So this is owned by Disney. Yeah. We actually talked about this in the last week's episode. I am all for content, books, movies, shows where characters happen to be gay and it's part of the story, not the story is about them being gay. Like, I actually have not seen that one gay movie that everybody talks about.
I don't remember what it is.
It was The High Schoolers or whatever. Love Simon. Victor.
Love Simon.
Yeah, Love Victor, Love Simon. I haven't watched those.
TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Reddit post I sent you also has other LGBTQ couples, and one or two of them are also like Disney Channel shows.
Okay.
Like The Owl House.
I did not see those in the post.
The Owl House was the second picture.
Okay.
By Western cartoons, they mean either American
or... Oh, okay, I see now. This was a slideshow.
So yes.
Let me share that slideshow, and we'll go through a few of them just to see the ones that have those characters real quick. And if you're listening, we will just read them out. So this was the Strange World. Ethan and Diazo were the couple.
Yep.
Luce and Amity from The Owl House. Mm-hmm.
Very cute couple, by the way. Very cute show.
So that's a lesbian couple, right?
Yes.
Cool. And we have Barney and Logs from Dead in Paranormal Park.
I don't know what kind of relationship it is. I haven't watched Dead End.
And we have Cora and Asmi from Legend of Korra. Mm-hmm. Randy and Ty from Close Enough. Yes. That dude looks like Joe Exotic.
He kind of acts like jokes. That's kind of point. It's a funny show. He's not even the main character.
And Princess Bubblegum and Marceline from Adventure Time. Never was a fan of that show.
William and
Rick from Invincible.
Yes.
Adora and Katra from She-Ra and the Princess of Power.
She-Ra.
I'm sorry,
Shiro, I'm a nerd.
You are a nerd. Shiro and Curtis from Voltron, Legendary Defenders. He's missing an arm.
Yeah, he lost an arm in the show.
And Harley and Ivy from Harlequin.
Yep, which they delve into that couple more in depth in season 2.
Ah.
Yep. They get together at the end of season 1.
That show,
I like it.
It could be better.
What? You're allowed to not like it. That's your opinion.
It was okay. It was okay, I guess. You know what else is coming out that I'm excited for?
What?
I found this when I had a leak in my sink. And I was searching for a great plumber.
I hate your dad jokes.
And I found these guys, this one guy named Mario and this other guy named Luigi. I hear they're really great. But unfortunately, they only service Brooklyn. No,
you're terrible.
I am terrible. Yeah, I know. Judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. Some people don't have the luxury to do, however, those that probably should judge people by their character, even if said persons are character themselves in media. Someone is a part of the LGBT community, and that's all that one sees of them. This rough definition of what it should be when that's all that somebody would see.
So all those characters we showed, those aren't like their main character traits.
Yeah, no, most of those, the shows are about way more than that, but it happens to have a gay character, which is,
yeah.
Again, it's nice to see representation because it's not something that I saw much of growing up. I think one of the only examples when I was growing up was Will and Grace. And I wouldn't say that's the best example of a gay character, right?
It's a dramatized example.
Yep.
Because it's a drama show.
So, but moving on to Mario, The Super Mario Brothers movie is coming out. I thought it was funny because I saw in one of the trailers they mentioned this website. It's actually a working website, the smbplumbing.com. They have like an About Us page. They have a little commercial. They have all their reviews.
Does the live chat work?
The live chat does work.
Is it all AI, though?
Yeah, it's probably all AI. I think they are. They might be doing some kind of tour thing, but I haven't paid much attention to that. I'm sure that it's related to that. But I did want to go ahead and play the trailer for the Super Mario Brothers movie because it looks very good.
I don't think I'm going to watch this movie.
Where am I?
Ooh, fresh meat.
I'll watch it just for the Lumos.
Pay him no heed.
He is. You will watch it just for that?
Just for the star guy.
There's gotta be a way out
of
here.
Just for the star guy.
No escape.
The
only hope is
Mr.
Sweet Relief of Death.
Whoa. Oh, he is so morbid. I love it.
I love it. Is it giggle?
My army! Koopas! Koopas! Whatever those things are!
What are those things?
They have a name, I don't know.
Destroy the Mushroom Kingdom!
Like shell bros or something.
I'm not afraid. I'll do anything for my brother.
We're going to save him.
I just don't know how I feel about the voice acting.
You asked for it. This is fun.
Here we go.
Attack! Let's end this.
I mean, it's gonna be a good movie.
Yep, out April 5th.
I just don't know how I feel about some of the voice acting.
Look, I can get past some of the voice actors. I can get past the voice actors.
It's not the voice actors, it's the decisions that they made with how the voices would be done.
Mm.
Like how Chris Pratt just sounds like Chris Pratt.
I don't think he just sounds like Chris Pratt.
I don't know, I don't hear Mario.
I saw an extended version of a trailer. He does more of an accent? A little bit, like on certain parts. I thought it was fun.
During the first trailer I saw where he said, "It's me, Mario."
I think that was for comedy.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was probably for comedy.
It wasn't funny.
I know, everybody wants, "It's a me, Mario."
And that's what we love.
I know that's what, okay. I don't know.
That's funny on its own.
I think that's a little bit extreme. I mean, I was nervous about the Sonic voice, for the Sonic movie at first, but I felt like it was fine. People love racial stereotypes. I know. I think that's taking it a little far too. Like, let's relax a little bit and realize that, and let's celebrate some of the differences that we have as a society, because I think if we box each other in so much, but you know, Xavier brings up a good point.
Mario hasn't gotten canceled yet.
Yeah, if Chris Pratt did that, would it get canceled for racial appropriation?
I don't know.
From all the what is he, Italian?
Yeah, Mario's Italian.
I mean, I'm Italian.
Been around for like over 50 years.
I'm excited for this movie. I think just the visuals alone, everything looks so crisp, so well done. You know, I've seen extended trailers. It looks like it's going to be really well put together. Hopefully it's not done poorly. And the storyline is really solid, because that's what's most important for me. But so far, it looks great. It looks like the game is popping off the screen. Hella does not agree with me.
Yeah. No, it's not that. I agree that it's portraying the game very well, and the games in the industry and the franchise very well. My only issue was some of the like directing choices.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually kind of excited for Seth Rogen to be Donkey Kong.
Is that who that was?
I think it'll be funny. Yeah, Seth Rogen.
That's actually...
pretty sure it was.
I was actually more concerned about the Seth Rogen voice as Donkey Kong then, because I...
really?
I didn't think the voice fit the character, but I think my biggest issue, honestly, was kind of the way Princess Peach's face was done. I thought it looked...
how does she look? I didn't really see it.
She looks kind of... the way her face looks is a little oblong or something. Like, something's off proportionally. It's hard for me to describe.
Let me look it up real quick.
Maybe it's like an eye-to-nose-to-mouth ratio that's a little weird. I don't know how...
I can see what you're getting at. It's because it's animated. And so now we're seeing some, like, expressions that we're not used to. I would also have to say the image you showed, she has a helmet on.
No, I know that. I've just seen her in other scenes.
It's the shape of the eyes. It's the shape of the eyes.
I think it's the shape of the eyes / eyebrows. And then the way they moved her mouth, the way they animated her mouth, I feel like definitely, they overdid
it. The mouth looks kind of, yeah. It's almost like, what was Wreck-It Ralph.
I could see that.
Exaggerated mouth movements.
Very exaggerated. That was my only gripe, was like her mouth looked a little weird, but I felt like everything else looked great. The scenery is phenomenal. I feel like they stayed true to the whole franchise. Even with like the Mario Kart racing stuff at the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
Really cool. But with that being said, Hella, did you have anything else for us this afternoon, or did anybody in our audience want to chime in with anything they've heard this week? Well, that being said, thank you guys for joining us for the LGBT Family and Community Games Community Podcast. I said that way wrong. Thank you for joining us for the LGBT Family and Games Community Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow, check us out on Discord, where you can join in the conversation all day, every day, and submit topics for the LFG Podcast, and even join us when we do the live recordings every week, Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then we will release this episode in audio format on all the podcast streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, you name it. We'll be there, iHeartRadio app, that thing too. Also, check us out on YouTube. Usually we'll go ahead and release the episode every Friday after the Tuesday release of the audio version. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. You get to see all the context for our conversation. We'll show the videos that we played in this episode. And you'll get to see my lovely face, because I'm so beautiful.
Gorgeous, darling. We're all gorgeous, darling.
Thanks, y'all.
See us.
Later.